This message was shared from the pulpit at Good News Baptist Church in Chesapeake, Virginia. For more information, visit us online at goodnewsbaptist.org.
If you'll take your Bibles, please, let's go to Romans chapter 13. Our Bible study tonight is going to be unique and may spill over to next Wednesday night. I don't want to be in a hurry, but I do want to look at a matter in the Scriptures that is instructive for us, but something that will be, I believe, an encouragement to our church as well. As you know, God has opened the door for me to be a police chaplain here in the city of Chesapeake. I have done that in this city now 10 years. It's hard to believe it's been that long. Overall, I've been a police chaplain for 27 years. And God has opened many doors of opportunity. And I'm so thankful that this church has a heart for our first responders and that you have allowed me to have this ministry. I want you to know that I don't look at it, and I don't believe you look at it as something extra that your pastor does. This is gospel ministry, therefore it's church ministry. It's also who I am because it's what God has called me to be. It's not something 27 years ago that I was looking for. It's a door that God opened, and then as I walked through that door and began to work, he gave me such a burden. That burden has never left. But I'm also thankful for how God has continued to reinforce the importance of that ministry right here. And as I stand here tonight in the fellowship hall next to the kitchen, there is a PTS class happening, and it's being led by a retired Chesapeake police officer and our own John Radice. So Terry Myers and John are over there ministering to those who have faced traumatic circumstances in their life. PTS, and we don't call it PTSD anymore because as you study the Scriptures, remember God put us in a perfect world, made our great-grandparents Adam and Eve to be without sin, and they knew no trauma. Sin broke what happens on this earth. It brought the curse of sin here. With it, death. And so frankly, first responders are trying to prolong the inevitable. Have you ever thought about that? Not only the effects of sin on our bodies personally, but man in his fallen state is a significant threat to other men. Which is why when you go home tonight, you'll lock your doors, set your alarm system, make sure your car's locked. And perhaps, just perhaps, some of you even have weapons in your house just in case. But the reality is, God fearfully and wonderfully made us, and he has built into our systems how to respond to real stress and trauma. And so tonight, there's a class happening that is helping folks to understand that how the body responds, that doesn't mean the body is broken. It means the body is functioning in the way that God intends for it to, as it relates to really difficult things that we face. And so while that is true, what is also true is in those difficult circumstances, our greatest threat is not our body. Our greatest threat is how we handle the thoughts that come into our mind about those circumstances. There's a reason Jesus said, "Cast your care upon me, for I care for you." The Lord is not limited when he says to us, that those who will keep their mind stayed on him will have what kind of peace? Perfect peace. Is that for people who have had a perfect past, or is that for everybody who will keep their mind stayed on him? It's for everybody. And in fact, you and I can go back to the Old Testament and we can see warriors like David and others who talk about the peace they have with God. Did they ever face anything traumatic? Wow. Oh yeah. Yeah. How about the judges? Okay, but they were able to function and even please God and do so from a standpoint of peace because they knew God. Now, I say all that because coming back to this whole matter of this church, through your pastor and through others, having a significant connection with our local police here. And God has used that in a great, great way. And the Lord has allowed fruit to come from that. But along with what I've just mentioned, God has allowed us to see officers saved. We have a wonderful family in our church now. Along with that, God continues to give this church the opportunity to be a testimony and a light in the community through your support, not only me, but Ryan Boyd, who's a police chaplain with Portsmouth, and we've got two military chaplains in our church. And so that helps spread the light. Next month, I'll be praying again at a fallen officer's memorial. It happens every year down right outside the Chesapeake City Courthouse. It's right there, and all the families of fallen officers come, and we honor them as a city. This year, once again, I'll be praying at that event, the invocation, the benediction, and then be playing taps. Again, helping folks understand the Good News Baptist Church. And though they don't necessarily understand this, but our Lord cares about law enforcement locally, and we're being a testimony to them. You also have allowed me to continue to work on a doctoral dissertation. That is, in fact, going to be a book that will allow pastors to be able to go into local police departments, sheriff's departments, and start a chaplain program. For those who are already chaplains, they'll be able to take this book and look at what is said there, evaluate their existing program, and maybe by the grace of God, help that program to be better. And so that's what we continue to work on, and Lord willing, within the next year, that will all be done. But you're helping us to be able to do that as well. Recently, and you all, I think, are familiar with Frontline Magazine. It's the voice of the Foundations Baptist Fellowship, which we're very involved with. I'm the chairman of the Chaplain Commission, and right now, that ministry, we have almost 80 chaplains, community chaplains and military chaplains who are serving with that. And so I chair that commission, and recently I was asked to write an article for Frontline Magazine about the church and law enforcement. That article will be in an upcoming issue, but I'm going to give you the content of that in the next couple of weeks. I think, would be benefited to just hear directly from me. If you get Frontline, you can read it later on as well. But as I share this information, it really is intended to help us understand what is happening in the law enforcement community and how this church can better pray for cops, how this church can better encourage them when you see them around. All right? And I'm thankful as well for the testimony of the officers that have been in our church. Mike Blackburn just retiring, And I heard just today, was talking to someone who had been interacting with some Suffolk police officers, a couple officers down there, and they said this to those officers, "Do you know Josh Ventura?" And they said yes, and they had some very, very positive things to say about Josh. And that, Josh, I told you I was going to talk about you tonight, all right? But that thrilled my heart. He's got a strong testimony. Remember, Jerry Fowler was there. Jerry has retired, moved on, and now Josh is in that department being a light for the Lord. All right, so let's approach it this way. Every first responder knows what is meant by the words mutual aid. I'm thankful for the communication capabilities that we have today, where regardless of whatever is happening in our city, there can be a lot of help called in. And mutual aid means other departments can help, other precincts within the city, and so on. State and federal agencies, along with other organizations, often join forces to assist each other in a time of crisis. And in our nation today, we are in a time of crisis. I would just say this as your pastor, you cannot be too vigilant even when it comes to your own safety. Those of you that have children, don't let your children out of your sight. There was a day when we fought a civil war to stop slavery. We have a government today that, to an extent, is looking the other way when it comes to human trafficking, which is nothing more than slavery. It's happening. And so you need to be vigilant. You need to be aware. If you feel like anything unusual is happening, somebody's watching your kids, someone is watching you, please call 911. I'm serious about that. We would rather respond and make sure you're okay than something else happen. The law enforcement community in America is in a time of crisis, and we're going to talk about that. I believe Christians should rise up to provide mutual aid to police officers who are always there to assist us. Unfortunately, we live in a part of the country where woke foolishness has not caused the police to back away. If you call, you're going to get a quick response, regardless of any of the cities here in Hampton Roads. So my hope is that as we talk about that, that first you'll understand, again, be reminded of perhaps, but maybe learn the biblical basis for law enforcement. Many minds will immediately go to Romans 13. That's where we're at, where the Holy Spirit is instructing us that governmental authority is from God. Look at verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. He put them in place. Ordained means that he appointed and set apart to serve in a specific way. And those who resist government are directly resisting God's authority. Verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, judgment. Now in verse 2, who says, I will bring judgment? Is it the police or is it God? It's God. Now later, it'll talk about the police responding too. But this is the Lord. Now, because sinners are lawbreakers, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Recognize that you're listening tonight to a lawbreaker who's been redeemed by the grace of God. But I'm talking to lawbreakers. That is the current condition on earth and has been since the fall in the garden. And so, God has authorized government to appoint rulers to enforce the law. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power, the authorized power that God has given civil government to enforce law and maintain peace? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Now that's God's intent. Okay? Corrupt government changes that. But by and large, remember that those who are called to keep the peace are those who also live in communities where they want peace too. They live there too. All right, so rulers, it's a broad term that refers to an official whose power included paramilitary and police affairs, as well as administrative and political functions. Quoting Merrill Tenney there. So these rulers are also called ministers. All right, they are the ministers of God. And in the context here, or in the text, ministers, if you look it up in the Greek, it's a word that you might recognize. Let me give you the Greek word, see if you can pick out the English word. Diakonos. Anybody know what that is? Deacons. Did you know that the government has deacons? It's really fun when I'm riding in a police car to look at the guy next to me, or the gal, and to say, did you know you were a deacon? That gets their attention. And all right, the church has deacons who are meant to serve, right? And so does the government. What is their job? To encourage good and punish evil. Notice in verse 4 the word sword. Literally, in Bible times, it was a sword. It was the gladius. It was the two-edged sword. And throughout the Roman Empire, it was a little different in Rome. Rome actually had a police force. But in the rest of the empire, the policing duties was the responsibility of the Roman army. Okay? Now, there was a twofold purpose for that sword. First, it was a reminder. The sword was a symbol of the power inherent in the government to be able to punish evil. Today, I don't know whether you realize this, but that belt that officers wear with all that stuff on it, that's about 35 pounds that they carry around every day. But the things that are on that belt are intended to be a reminder. If you're thinking about doing something dumb, don't. Don't. Because everything on that belt is intended to respond in an equal way to whatever dumb thing you're thinking about. Okay. Now, if you go ahead and try to do whatever it is you're thinking about, the sword is also a revenger to execute wrath on him that doeth evil. Okay, so the weapons carried by law enforcement are the instruments by which God exacts out justice against those who break the law, including the use of lethal force when necessary. Now, there are bad cops, but I'll remind you, there are bad preachers. There are bad politicians, and I know that shocks you tonight. You know, there are bad teachers who abuse and do all kinds of bad things, but they're by far, I believe, in the minority, just like by far the majority of officers believe that they're called to do what they're doing. What they're doing is important. And that's the way we need to view it. The problem is those who don't know God or who know him and hate him, hate everything he stands for, including those that are out there to enforce the law. Right? And so, again, they need our support, and they need encouragement from us about what God says. It is God who said, if a man sheds innocent blood by man, his blood should be shed. Understand that in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill means thou shalt do no murder. And if you're intent on murdering someone, God has authorized through government those who will stop you from doing that murder if it means ending your life. Now, although the biblical basis for having police officers is clear, my burden is to answer the question, how should God's people aid those who protect and serve our communities? How should we respond? I want to answer the question with two words. And I want you to remember these. You may want to write this down even in the margin here by Romans 13. First of all, interaction. Interaction. The next is intercession. First of all, interaction, in that we need to encourage and support them. And then intercession, we need to take them before the Lord and pray for their safety and for their success. Now, God's people need to interact with officers by showing honor and then communicating their support for what God has called them to do. I believe it grieves the heart of God, and I will just be blunt with you, it would grieve my heart if I thought any of God's people were dishonoring any of God's servants in law enforcement. Understand that when they stop you and they ask you to do something, show honor and just do it. Okay, so many of the things that happen where bad things result from police stops is because dishonor leads people to do foolish things. Right? Christians must also intercede for officers by communicating their needs to God. It's directly commanded in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Would you turn over there? 1 Timothy 2 says, let me begin at verse 1. I exhort therefore the first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, there's our word, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So intercession, we're commanded to pray for them. Because of COVID, we haven't had first responder service and emergency services Sunday in quite a while. We will get back to that. Part of it is because in the city of Chesapeake, both the fire department and the police department, both departments have recently changed chiefs. We've got two new chiefs. And so we're letting them settle in. But again, for 27 years in three states, I've witnessed firsthand the greatest needs of officers. And let me share those needs with you so that you can better pray for and support them. Their greatest needs are these, if you want to jot them down. First of all, their greatest need is evangelism, because many officers are also spiritually condemned. Let me say that again. Evangelism, because many officers are spiritually condemned. A discussion of law enforcement needs to begin with the gospel. Although the police often deal with society's lawbreakers, they are also condemned in heaven's court if they have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. What does John 3:18 tell us? He that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because they believe not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, I am there primarily as a police chaplain to assist officers. The community is secondary, primarily for officers. But I'm there, part of a secular agency invited by them to be light. And if the Lord opens the door, or if, and this is what chaplaincy was about originally, for them to be able, again, they can't be in church many Sundays. While they can't be in church, to have someone with them who can, in a sense, bring church to them. Be there to answer their spiritual questions, help them with their spiritual needs. That's what chaplaincy is about. And so their greatest need is to know Christ. Like the officiating officer overseeing the events at Calvary, there was a Roman soldier who was in charge of the policing action on top of Golgotha. But in that very difficult situation, what happened? That man declared, Matthew 27:54, truly this was the Son of God. That's amazing. Are we going to see him in heaven someday? I hope so. I believe he was close if he didn't trust Christ. All right. So the police departments of America represent a field white already to harvest. The federal government reports that there are 18,000 federal and state law enforcement agencies employing nearly, listen, 700,000 sworn officers. That's a small army. Although they're called to keep the peace, many desperately need the Prince of Peace so that they can have peace with God. Believers should not hold back in sharing the news of salvation with these civil servants of God. The Lord of the harvest is using what they experience daily to prepare their hearts, especially if you're praying for them. Does God ever use hard, difficult things to draw people to himself? Well, imagine folks who every day are having to deal with what is broken about our humanity. Imagine that. Now, along with evangelism, and we're going to look at one other area, and then we'll have to close tonight. But along with evangelism, officers need enlightenment because they are divinely called. If you talk to most officers, they're doing this, and I could call Josh up here tonight and have him share his testimony. But most of them do consider it a calling. With all the negative stuff that's in the media, with all the hard things they face every day, why do they keep showing up for work? They'll tell you. I'm supposed to do this. Wow. Officer Michael Williams is a police officer and chaplain with a vocal testimony for Christ. He expressed the following in an op-ed entitled, here's what he wrote, Understanding Your Calling. He wrote a few years ago, most of us entered the law enforcement profession in response to a calling on our lives, even if we didn't understand its source. He went on to explain how this lack of understanding can lead to significant complications in an officer's life. In a sense, the police have been deputized by God himself, and no one is better qualified to encourage them in their role than a Christian who knows the Bible. That's you. And I'm hoping that as we talk about this, that your understanding even grows greater. I would love to be able to walk into my precinct and have some, hey, I met somebody from your church, and they were a real encouragement. They reminded me that I'm called of God. Now, this knowledge becomes especially important when an officer is required to use deadly force to take another human life. My goal through the years of chaplaincy has been to share the truths of Romans 13:1-5 with every officer I can where God gives the opportunity. Realize one of the proofs that we've been made in the image of God is this. If anyone in the defense of themselves or another had to take a human life, it's devastating. Don't you think for a minute that there are officers out there that are just looking for an opportunity. That is a lie from the enemy. Every time they have to do it, it devastates them. And when they finish a career and they don't ever have to do it, they are greatly relieved. And so, a number of years ago in my first department, I walked in one day and we had an officer on the force who knew the Lord. In fact, we were in a college town, and he had come to Christ because he went to the university in town, and there was a professor in that university who would make all of those students that she had write a final paper, and they had to come to her office so she could review the paper with them. What she was really doing is getting them in there to give them the gospel. She led many of those students to the Lord. She attended our church for a while. But she led this guy to the Lord, and then he became one of our officers. Well, he and I would ride together, and Scott and I talked about these things. And one day, I walked through the department, and he walked up, and he said, "Chaplain, I need to talk to you." In northern Wisconsin, in another department up there, he had a close friend who the week before had had to use his weapon to take a life. And his friend was devastated. And he said this, he said, "What was that passage that you showed me?" So we slipped down a hallway, took out my phone, pulled up the Bible, and I showed him what that text was. He wrote it down so that he could be a help to his friend. What was the answer? Just words of encouragement? No. He used the word of God. You too can share that truth with other with officers who are doing God's work prayerfully. You can also write a kind note. You could include scripture. You can leave it with a police supervisor at a station. If you're watching the news and you find out, and it doesn't even have to be our city, that an officer somewhere had to use his weapon and take a life, trust the Lord, write a note, write a card, stop by and just say, "Hey, I heard about this officer, wanted to write a card, can I talk to your supervisor?" Let him come, give him the card, say, just tell him, "I'm a Christian, and I appreciate what you all do. Would you deliver this?" Now, they may open the card to see what you said. But what an opportunity. Today's peace officers need evangelism, and they need to be enlightened about what God has called them to do. And so, as we close tonight, I'm so thankful that leading a Bible study, not in this room, but nearby, is an officer I had the opportunity to encourage from God's word in both of these ways. And when something traumatic happened in his life that really did push him over the edge, and showed him, by the way, that though he thought he was a Christian, he had never trusted Christ. That through God's word and the love of another one of God's servants toward him, as a servant of the Lord, God used that to arrest him. You see what I did there, right? Okay. All right. And show him the love of Christ. And praise God, now he and Hannah are part of the church here, our family. And God is using them in a mighty way. But how did all that happen? Because you've got a vision for the gospel. Brother Sayer in the prison, me in a police car, taking people to the prison, or whatever, okay. The gospel is powerful, and God can use it to make a difference. He's using it to make a difference here. And so, pray for our officers. When you hear a siren, what should you do? Need to pray. I do a lot of praying, because where I live in Portsmouth, they're going by my house all the time. But that's okay. Pray. And pray for God to continue to open doors of utterance. Pray that God will give me opportunities. God has allowed me in 27 years to see 4 officers come to Christ. One of those officers is already in. Praise the Lord for the opportunity we have to share the gospel. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for the authority of government, the authority of the home, and the authority of church. And how we need all of that as your people. That we might lead quiet and peaceable lives so that we can live godly and obey our God. and helping to reach this world for Christ. Protect all those tonight who are out there protecting from those who would be lawbreakers, protecting from natural threats like fire. And God, would you use us to be a force to encourage them in what you've called them to do. And Lord, thank you for the first responders, the officers, firefighters in our church. Continue to protect them. Use their testimony, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you have questions about your relationship with God, or you would like to know more about the ministry of Good News Baptist Church, you can visit us online at goodnewsbaptist.org or call us at 757-488-3241. We trust your heart was challenged as you listened, and we want to encourage you to share this message with others. May the truth of God's word be your guide as you strive to follow Christ and make him known to others.